It's time for the Fantasy Points Podcast, brought to you by FantasyPoints.com. Top-level fantasy football and NFL betting analysis from every perspective and angle, from numbers to the film room, with a single goal, to help you score more fantasy points.
Hey, what's up? I'm John Hansen. Welcome to another edition of Hansen's Hints here at FantasyPoints.com. We are into the month of April, and I have been working on early run projections for the 2024 campaign. We have the bulk of free agency in the rear view. Most of the relevant moves have already been made, a couple of stragglers aside. So I get as much done as I possibly can before the NFL draft. So I thought I would pop in here and give you a quick early look at the positions. I did skip over the running backs and the wide receivers because they're going to take a long ass time, but I already did do a podcast on the quarterbacks comparing early ADP to my very, very early projections. And quickly, before I get into the tight ends this year and the landscape, just a brief overview of what I'm doing here. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. These are baseline projections. I try to make everything line up in terms of, let's say, if I'm going to give a team 600 pass attempts, I want to make sure the target shares are accurately represented among all the players. So, for example, when I look at the tight ends, I mean, it's, again, it's not rocket science here. I look at where they were in terms of points, pass attempts per game. For example, Sam Laporta here in my notes. Last year, they were at 33.5 pass attempts per game. So I try to figure out, okay, will we be higher or lower than that? He was sixth in target share last year, for what it's worth, at 19.5%. Again, will he be higher or lower? I would say in Laporta's case, maybe slightly lower as Jameson Williams emerges, but clearly my man has carved out a pretty darn large role, especially due to that 8.6% touchdown rate last year. 10 tutties did Sammy Laporta score. Now, again, that would be probably, actually it is, because I already did it, an example of, you got to bake in a little regression here, because if my man is rolling with an 8 point, I mean, that's better probably than Travis Kelce in his career. So he's probably going to drop a little bit. So I have to drop that. So that's the crux of it. I'm looking at targets, target share, catch rates, yards per reception, yards per target, things like that. I do go into the Fantasy Points data suite and check out other things, route participation, routes run per drop back, try to understand the player's role on the team, ADOT, average depth of target, all kinds of data. You know, you could suffer some paralysis by overanalysis, but I know how to kind of get right down to the crux of the matter. Like, for example, fantasy points per route run. It's a pretty juicy stat right there. But yeah, the tight ends last year, as we do a little review, did well, obviously. It was a great year for those tight ends out there with a lot more zone coverage, number one. I think that really, really helped out the tight ends this past year. And more two deep safeties, of course. Basically, teams, in my opinion, are kind of daring other teams' offenses to throw to the tight end. And I think it's not a coincidence that we had a real good breakout year for a lot of dudes. I mean, we had the greatest rookie season in the history of the NFL with the aforementioned Sam Laporta. No offense to Sam Laporta. He's a damn good player, and he rolled out of bed as a solid tight end. One dude got double-digit targets in his first game, but we're not going to, you know, replicate that touchdown percentage. And we were helped out by, you know, being in an ideal situation, team that has a great O-line, runs the ball really well, and has a quarterback who is a professional and delivers the ball very well between the numbers. So things really worked out extremely well for Sam Laporta, but he wasn't the only one here. Just looking over, not even the league leaders, if you will, I'm just looking at target share percentage. Last year, T.J. Hockenson was a monster, actually led the NFL. Evan Ingram, I actually liked Evan Engram this past year. He was good. Second highest target share percentage. Dude was all over the place. He had to have been way up there in terms of like, well, everything. Routes run. Well, there you go. He was number one in routes run. Moving down the board, we had a nice little breakout season by David Njoku, who also was on my list, believe it or not. Not that I reported that much in September and October when he wasn't doing that much, but I did have him on my list as one of my top targets. I also had Sam Laporta on my list, but I actually apologized because, yeah, he was on my list of targets. I narrowed down the top 300 to like 70, but I wish I pushed him a lot more. George Kittle had a great year. We had a breakout once Zach Ertz was cleared out of the way season by Trey McBride. We also had a little bit of a break, actually a full-on breakout from my guy, Jake Ferguson. If you listen to me on SiriusXM satellite radio, the fall of 2022, I kept saying that they were going to likely let Dalton Schultz walk and that Jake Ferguson was sneaky good. And they did draft Luke Musgrave. I have a little word about that. But the cream rose to the top there. We had some buzzkills, no doubt. A couple of my favorite picks on the low end underwhelmed, although, you know, I actually went back. Chigi Okonkwo was pretty close to my projection, but he was not reliable at all. I mean, that's what we're looking for at this position. You could take a shot on a Juwan Johnson, you know, 180 picks into the draft. You're probably going to throw that pick away. I did like Johnson as well. And, you know, he did come on late again. There was some great chemistry with Derek Carr, but that just didn't really work out. So others to get to here as we look toward 2024. But obviously, we are doing these projections. What I'm looking to do this time of the year is as many get deep under the hood for as many projections for players that I do not think will be affected by the NFL draft. So there were certainly some situations I had to avoid. So it's not a complete picture, but most of the teams that I didn't do projection wise are teams that are, you know, in need of tight end or have ugly committees. And a lot of them will be addressing the position in the draft. And it's not that great of a draft class. I'm going to get to the rookies in a moment. So real quick, I did not bother to do Carolina. Can we please get rid of these scrubs, no offense, that we have in Carolina. I'm sick. I can't do Tommy Tremble anymore. Can't do it. Cue the Mike Singletary. Ian Thomas, no. Go away, dude. Steve Sullivan, you can leave too. And Jordan Matthews, the former receiver, I can't believe you're on the roster. Congratulations. Cincinnati Bengals, no offense to Mike Gesicki. I'm very proud of myself that I've never fallen for Mike Gesicki. It's like the fantasy football banana in a tailpipe. One week, look at him, he looks like a world beater out there. That's why I nicknamed him Flash Gesicki, because he'll flash and then he'll disappear for 6 weeks. So that is an interesting pickup there by the Bengals, but we'll see if they do in the draft. By the way, if they have access to Brock Bowers at 18, man, I don't know how you don't make that move. Denver, I kind of held off. Because, man, what an ugly year from Greg Dulcich. I'm not sure if Sean Payton is viewing him at this juncture as his next Jimmy Graham, basically, which was what the thought was last year. We'll see what they do in the draft. Maybe Dulcich emerges as a big winner. Another real key one here is Indy. Jelani Woods missed the entire season with a hamstring. I don't even know if I can recall anybody missing the entirety of the season with a hamstring, but that was Jelani Woods. I would imagine it's nice and rested. Dude hasn't played in a real game I don't even know how the year and 9 months, but I do personally like Will Mallory a lot. Met him at the combine, great dude. And he showed some signs this past year. He actually made some plays. Dude can run, no question. Just not sure if he's ever going to be like a tight end one, number one tight end. So we'll see what the Colts do. I did avoid doing the Chargers probably because it's annoying with Donald Parham Jr., Will Disley, and Hayden Hurst in the mix. I guess they're done, but honestly, full disclosure, I'm putting that off to the last minute because, again, it's going to be annoying quagmire here with three viable guys in a pretty conservative offense, you would think, with Mr. Harbaugh coming there to LA. I also avoided the Rams. We do have a Tyler Higbee ACL return. I'm not sure about that. Miami, I didn't bother. Actually, I didn't do a Jonnu Smith one. Not that anyone should be that excited about Jonnu Smith. I had held off on TJ Hockenson for the Vikings. I didn't do the Saints in case they draft a tight end. They've got Taysom Hill and Juwan Johnson, Foster Moreau. Maybe they don't. The Giants with Darren Waller's history. Well, there you go. Freudian slip. He is probably going to be history, but with his career kind of hanging in the balance. Darren, you won't hear this, and you don't give a rat's ass what I say. Hang him up, dude. Do not torture us anymore. That was pretty bad last year where the vibes were so good right up until the Friday before the opener when he pulled up with that hammy injury. Had the hamstring come up in early August, out, but it was a pristine month of August and then some dipping into September for Darren Waller. So I was in and I regretted it more than anything else last year, quite frankly. And then finally, I would imagine that the DC Commanders will finally, I mean, enough of Logan Thomas. It was a good shot. He was a good athlete, former quarterback, drafted by Bruce Arians, made some plays. Duke cannot stay healthy, well over 30 now, and we do need to update. I mean, we do have Zach Ertz, who'll probably be a tight end one in September and then fade away. There's a piece of advice for you. Draft Zach Ertz in round 18, trade him after week 5, because that's kind of been his deal right now. No offense, we do love Zach Ertz. Of course, I have not yet done the rookies. Not the best class. I thought it would be interesting here while we're talking tight ends to go back and look at previous years. This is not considered a good class. I think Brock Bowers is one of the best tight end prospects who's ever come across my desk. That is for sure. But I'm not feeling much with Jatavion Sanders out of Texas or Jaheim Bell out of Florida State. They'll probably be day two picks or the second, third, fourth tight ends off the board. For what it's worth, I like my two guys I like on the very low end in terms of the class are Cade Stover for the Ohio State Buckeyes. And normally blocking tight ends, I think he might have a chance to be a viable receiving tight end. And then Ben Senna, K-State, who I did watch practice in person at the Senior Bowl. I thought he moved very well. I kind of like A.J. Barner, but, you know, he's, you know, more of a blocking tight end. We'll see where these guys go. They're very landing spot dependent, of course. But without any further ado, let me get into my very early look, first run at tight end projections and compare them in the rankings at the very least to the early on markets. Well, right at the top here, Sam Laporta is the top dude off the board. No surprise, 32 overall. I do think that's a little rich, I must say. We're not repeating the 8.6 touchdown rate. We're going to come down to earth just a little bit. Think I had his targets down just a little, very close. I mean, I had him down by 6 targets. So really it comes down to the touchdowns, and I am projecting it to be, well, not as fruitful in terms of scoring 10 touchdowns. Basically, dude had that massive touchdown rate. I am projecting. Let's take a look here. There it is. You know, again, keep in mind too, we're not projecting career years ever. Just like I'm not projecting, you know, a tight end to have a big game, which is frustrating when, you know, a guy like Travis Kelce scores 3 touchdowns or 2 with like 8 grabs for 180. Like, you just can't project that. So we keep things minimized, very, very realistic. 83 grabs, 865, 7 touchdowns, 211 fantasy points. My tight end 3. I will say too, early on, I think he's slightly a little overvalued. Travis Kelce comes in at number 2, and that's exactly where he is on my board. You do worry a little bit about, you don't worry, but I think it was quite revealing when they gave him that week off last year and he had like a little vacation. I don't know, did he go hang out with Taylor for a little bit, a few days, but he certainly was back when the playoffs started. So I think they're going to manage the workload more than ever. I mean, I'm even thinking, because who knows? I mean, they're the Chiefs. They can do whatever the hell they want at this point. It works. During the bye week, give them an extra bye. I mean, probably dumb idea there, but they're going to manage the workload, I do believe. So I only went with 88 grabs only, once again, for the 35-year-old for 945 and 8 touchdowns, 230 fantasy points. It was just behind the number one guy and just ahead. Well, comfortably ahead of Sammy Laporta, which brings us to Trey McBride, who is the number three tight end per the early ADP. But I have Trey McBride numero uno, and I am also baking in to the equation that they draft a stud wide receiver. This is a case where I want them to draft Marvin Harrison, who'll command coverage. He'll dictate it at times. Michael Wilson could be, I think, a good two. But, I mean, come on. Trey McBride, you know, absolutely unbelievable season last year. And you can't even go off of the entirety of the season because he was playing second fiddle to Zach Ertz. I think it was week 7. Let's just say week 8 on, where was Trey McBride? Let's say after week 8, where was Trey McBride in terms of target share? Number one. My man was getting the ball on a weekly basis, and it was like 5 catches for 55 were like, you know, that was a baseline here. For that dude here, first read target share, big time there as well. But I think we're looking at 100 catches here from Trey McBride. That's what I have. 100 grabs, 1055, 4.5 tutties. I had the notes here somewhere, but I can't find them. But all lined up pretty darn well in terms of what I looked at. Again, I'm not. These aren't really bold takes. They're all in line with, you know, past performance, current role, obviously offensive system and their acumen and all that. And we take a look at the game logs here for Trey McBride, and we see that the dude was getting bombarded with targets starting week 8, 14 targets, 10 grabs. Then we had a 9 target for 8 for 133 game. Then we had another 9 target game, 7 for 60. Another 9 target game, week 13, 8 for 89 with a touch. Then we had an 11 target game. Dude caught 12 or 10 of the balls for 102. 8 target game with 6 catches. 7 target game with 6 catches. And then a 6 target game in the finale with only 3 for 34. But the guy scored. So from week 8 on, let's take a look here as I do this kind of multitasking live from week 8 on in terms of points per game. How close was that to where I have him for the entirety of the 24 season? Now, by the way, while I'm calling all this up, do keep in mind another reason I think the tight ends are looking good here. I think we'll continue to see those two deep safeties, a lot of zone, but also the hip drop tackle being banned could help a bunch of athletic tight ends like Trey McBride. I mean, it was probably banned because Mark Andrews got seriously injured and knocked out. So this could also, I believe, help out those tight ends. So let's take a look here from week 9 on. Where was Trey McBride? Well, he was balling out, I can tell you that, and getting a lot of targets too. Competent quarterback play helped once Kyler Murray returned. But here it is. He wasn't up there. He was third in targets, 56 grabs, 560, a couple of tutties. That worked out to 13.8 fantasy points per game. I think I'm probably messing this up by maybe a week, but we'll see where I'm at here. 232 is what I have projected for Trey McBride. Tabs here. Working like I'm literally doing a million things right now at once here, but it's all good. There you go, 13.6. So I have him just slightly better than what he averaged down the stretch in his final nine games. So there it is. That's more than half the season. And by the way, in those final nine games, he was on pace for 111 grabs for 1,100 yards and granted only four tutties. So Trey McBride, your tight end number one, and that again is baking into the equation that they draft Marvin Harrison. For the record, 4.5 touchdowns for Trey McBride. I know that's annoying. He only had three last year, but you know, and the touchdown percentage in the career hasn't been that great with only four tutties on 110 grabs. So that's under 4% touchdown percentage. So, but again, that's exactly, I have him right around there, basically 4.5%. So moving on, I wouldn't say McBride is an incredible value, by the way, because he is going off the board about a round and a half after Laporta, but he's a better value than Laporta. And I'm going to take him over Kelsey as well, just because I'm an ageist. Mark Andrews comes in next at 4. I am a little worried about that one. I think we do worry about availability, the shifting offensive philosophy. Do they go with more 2-3 tight end sets? I mean, they've got three great ones as a group, including Charlie Kohler and Isaiah Likely, of course, Derrick Henry. You know, you never know. It's going to be touchdown dependent a little bit with Mark Andrews, who's been a great touchdown guy. And I'm giving him touchdowns. I'm giving him love, but I might be a little overvalued here. Got to bake in some time miss too. I gave him 15 games, 68 grabs, 840, 7 touchdowns, only my tight end 6 in my early run. Next up is the tight end 5, who I currently have as the tight end 4, and I'm all in. Dalton Kincaid. I've got him with 88 grabs for 935, 3.5 grabs. I've got my notes here. You know, what struck me about Kincaid is, you know, he came on down the stretch, did real well, especially when Joe Brady took over. But man, there was just so much room to grow. You know, 2.7 touchdown percentage, for example. I think that was, you know, a big one. I think the target share, I mean, that is an interesting one that we'll see what they do in the draft and all that. But, and there were other data points too. Like, you know, he was surprisingly not as much of an air yards guy, for example, which I know that's not totally his game. He's a run after the catch guy, but I think we could do a little bit better than where he was. So that, again, that was my takeaway out of only 43rd in air yard share. Target percentage, not great, way down the board here, only 25th. I mean, come on. I mean, this is where you're looking at a guy with room to grow. Targets per route run out of, let's call it 112 tight ends, I mean, only 51st. So again, of course, the catch rate, how about the catch rate? 21st out of 112. And I bet you if we only include dudes who had like at least 25 catches, I bet you he's way up there. Let's take a look. Dalton Kincaid with that badass catch rate, number one among all tight ends who had at least, I guess, 25 catches, 18 of them. There you go. Oh man, Kyle Pitts dead last. Wow. Evan Engram was second, by the way. So that's the first guy that really excites me this year is Dalton Kincaid. I can see him basically being like a high volume, big slot, if you will. Like, don't forget, Josh Allen used to love to pepper the ball to Cole Beasley underneath stuff. Yeah. And that is Dalton Kincaid's game a little bit. I'd like to see a little bit more air yards, but you know, he's playing with Josh Allen. So I'm in on that one, and there's a little bit of a value here. The aforementioned Kyle Pitts is the fifth tight end off the board. I'm in too. I'm encouraged, certainly. I've got him at 5, so I'm one spot higher than the markets. Went through all the data. Obviously, we could look at his rookie year with decrepit Kirk Cousins, if you will. No offense, Matt Ryan. But when Matt Ryan was in his last year, he was very comparable to Kirky, probably worse. So we're getting an upgrade from that rookie season in which he had the second most yards in the history of the world. So I'm in on Kyle Pitts. George Kittle is next at the tight end 7. I've got him a little lower at tight end 9. Evan Engram, I'm right there with the markets at tight end 8. Brock Bowers, I haven't done yet. David Njoku, I've got him at tight end 10 right there with the markets. Here's a small value, perhaps not totally sold on it, but everything we saw last year was good from Jake Ferguson. And I was a Jake Ferguson guy coming out, talked fantasy with him at the combine, by the way. He was into that. Barry Alvarez's grandson balling for Wisconsin. I'm always impressed by that. Yeah, and look, how can you not be impressed with what he did with Dak Prescott last year? Dak Prescott, as I've always noticed and said this about him, I used to call Jason Witten his blankie because my man needs his tight end safety valve security blanket over the middle field, and certainly Jake Ferguson did a hell of a job last year. Is the arrow still pointing up? That's the question. I'm going to bake in a slightly yes, but we do have Luke Schoonmaker there lurking. Dalton or Dallas Goedert. I'm not feeling it with Dallas Goedert here. I think we're done with Dallas Goedert. No offense. Another guy. I chopped it up with the combine. Great dude. But you know, it's like he's 40 out there. Like he gets hurt a lot, seems to be slowing down just a little bit, in my opinion. So also has had plenty of injury problems, of course. So there it is. I'm not feeling Dallas Goedert. Dalton Schultz. This is a little bit of a temporary one. I'm not particularly into him. You know, I'm not sure how much he's going to totally command the ball here, but he's fine. You know, I'm sure the target share was pretty good for him. Probably, I'm going to guess 15th. Yeah, he's all right. You know, tight end 13 on the ADP early on. I've got him 11. I did not do TJ Hockenson. Just waiting on a little bit more injury information. I probably won't get that until after we release these. So I guess at some point I'm going to have to go in there and guess projected number of games. I mean, the real question there is, are we looking at PUP or not? Cole Kmet is the tight end 15. I don't like Cole Kmet, but right now I've got him at 13. But keep in mind, I don't have Brock Bowers ranked. So that's one. Patty Freiermuth. It's a shame. I like Pat Freiermuth. They're going to need him, you know, so I'm giving him a little bit of love here, but I'm right with the markets at tight end 16. We'll see what they do in the draft, of course. They're going to need another tight end, most likely. I've got him with 46 grabs, 475, nothing spectacular, three touchdowns. Here's an interesting one. Tight end 17 off the board. Currently my tight end 12. Keep in mind, I haven't done like Hockenson and Browers, but Luke Musgrave for the Green Bay Packers. I wish I could be a little higher on him, but you know, Tucker Kraft was pretty damn good last year, but I was a Musgrave person. I actually kind of had him neck and neck with Kincaid for a lot of the offseason. I couldn't decide who I liked more. I actually did decide on Kincaid finally the last few weeks before the draft, but I definitely like Luke Musgrave a lot. And you know, he did well last year. Again, it is a little bit of a log jam there at receiver, but you know, the cream will rise at the top. Michael Mayer, I'd be more into, but unfortunately they went ahead and signed, who the hell they'd sign again? Harrison Bryant, who I've always liked. I falsely propped up, but he is a good red zone guy. So that is a little bit of a problem with Michael Mayer. We do not like the canceling out of tight ends, basically. Like Isaiah Likely, by the way, is tight end 20. I don't know what people are looking at. He's not going to be tight end 20 if Mark Andrews is relatively healthy, so I've got him only at 25. Hunter Henry, they did re-sign him, so got him at tight end 20, one spot over the markets. And then here are a couple of more. Cade Otton, tight end 19 for me. That is where he's at for the ADP. Here's one, and there's a lot to be determined because this team could take Brock Bowers. But currently the tight end 24, and I'm going to I project it as if they didn't take Brock Bowers. It's the Jets, and it's Tyler Conklin, who I was very high on last year, and he was good. I actually liked him last year too, or the year before, but can't remember what happened there. Crappy quarterback play, I guess. But, and I heard this from people close to the team, like had Aaron Rodgers not gotten hurt, we'd be talking a lot more about Tyler Conklin. Put it this way. They're very high on him. We were told, you know, their analytics people really liked him and they view him as a weapon. So I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be looking for Tyler Conklin. So there's a quick value for you. If you're doing best ball drafts right now, I mean, there's some risk involved. They do take Brock Bowers. They're the Jets. They probably will, but man, if they don't, and Conklin's in the driver's seat for the tight end one spot, we're looking good there. And then, you know, I know he underwhelmed last year, but Chigi Okonkwo, I mean, the numbers weren't that bad. I can actually look now to see how far off I was, because I was pretty high on Chiggy. They did add a bunch of weapons. I think people are looking at it like, okay, Calvin Ridley now, full year, a D-hop. Just not going to be a ton of production to go around. But they also lost Derrick Henry. So they're going to be throwing it a little bit more than we think. And I thought he, you know, had some moments with Will Levis last year. So let's take a look at where I was with him. Sometimes I'm afraid to look at this in terms of my total projected points for Chiggy. I have not looked at this yet. I'm afraid to sometimes. Okay. I had him with 148 fantasy points. I have not looked. Let's see what he ended up getting on the season. Chiggy Okonkwo. Where are you at, Chiggy? It's not good. 113. So yeah, okay. We thought we overextended ourselves, and we did. But I'll tell you what, though. I don't think we did all that much, but the touchdowns. I mean, he had 54 grabs. I don't have it in front of me, but that's not too far off of where I had him. That was 15th most. Yardage-wise, 18th most. I mean, the dude scored one touchdown. That was a real problem, but not a horrible choice. I don't think they're going to do much at tight end in the draft, obviously. They've got plenty of other needs. So best ball value, not too shabby. One other, Noah Fant, remember him? Tight end 21. He is tight end 26 off the board. So we will be adding some dudes here between these youngins. And if you follow me, I'm an ageist. I'm all about the youngins. I mean, we're looking good at tight end here, given the state of the NFL, how defenses are playing the opposing offenses, and a lot of talented guys who can run and are athletic. Between Sam Laporta, Trey McBride, Kyle Pitts, I still put him as a young player, Brock Bowers, you know, we could throw Musgrave on that list. We could probably throw Jake Ferguson on that list. Pretty exciting group here. And of course, we still have some solid standbys like Kelce and Mandrews and Kittle. They're still hanging in there. And then boring yet productive guys like, hate to say it, Evan Ingram. He seems boring. Well, you know what's not boring? Leading the NFL with 143 targets, because that's what Evan Ingram did last year. Also not boring is catching 114 balls to lead the NFL, as Evan Ingram did last year. And he was also third in yards, and he scored four touchdowns. So big year for Evan Ingram. A big year for you if you continue to consume these videos and the excellent content at fantasypoints.com. I don't know if you've noticed, but we're kind of taking over the world in year five. You know, we weren't one of those startups that went crazy, blowing out the budget in year one or two. We were very conservative, built up a nice base, took our time, launched Fantasy Points Data in year four, 2023. That was a very expensive endeavor, very successful. And now we're just a rocket ship with multiple new full-time hires. And you're not going to find another site with a more closely knit staff devoted exclusively, well, almost 98% to NFL football and fantasy. So there's my little sales pitch. I'll wrap it up here, but a good 35 minutes on my early look at the tight ends for 2024. Stay tuned to the feed. A lot of great draft content coming through here on the podcast and all the videos. And I'll be back for another edition of the podcast. I'm going to do running backs next week. I'm going to try and barrel through as many as I can. That will be a little bit more of an incomplete group. Then we'll hit on the wide receivers. But until then, I'm John Hansen. This has been another edition of Hansen's Hints here at fantasypoints.com.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Fantasy Points Podcast. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite platform. And come join the roster at fantasypoints.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.